Hello there. Welcome to the program. It's Gary Zimak. Great to be back with you here once again for day three of Total Consecration. Look at this. You made it through 2 days already. You're in day three now. I told you this is going to go fast. Now, don't look at the fact that we have 33 days total to prepare for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Just look at the fact that you have 2 days under your belt already, and it's time to do day three. We'll take the first 15 minutes or so of the program as we've done in the past couple of days. Today, once again, I'm going to go to Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. Now, I did tell you at the start of this preparation that I'm going to split it up. I'm going to use the best of the best, all different kinds of methods to prepare for total consecration. But Father Gately does a really good job setting things up. And that's why I've been going to him, and I'll keep going to him for the next few days. Remember, this first day, 12-day period, technically, we didn't start yet. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but St. Louis prescribed 12 days just to get rid of the spirit of the world. You know, what we're trying to do is something that is countercultural. The culture tells us that what we're doing is crazy. Anytime you bring up Christianity and giving your life over to Jesus, you're going to get a pushback from the world, right? Because you live in a world that's materialistic. Money is power. Power is money. All these kinds of things. Things are very important. But when we look at the message of Christ, he reigned from a cross. He's still our king, but his greatest accomplishment took place on a cross as he was crucified, and he died and rose from the dead so that you and I could go to heaven. So being a Christian is not something that you are easily going to find support for in the world. So we've got to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world. We're all affected by it in some way. That's what we're doing for this first 12-day period. Second half of the show, we're going to look at the daily Mass readings from today's Mass. So why don't we get started? Let's say a prayer, and then we'll get right into it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to another day of total consecration. Thank you for allowing us to be alive for another day. Thank you for the gift of the Blessed Mother. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. As we ask you, Father, to help us as we continue down this path toward total consecration. Send your Holy Spirit to come alive in us so that we may be led closer to you through Jesus with the help of the Blessed Mother. Father, we lift up our intentions, all our needs, and I ask you to speak through me on the program today. Open our minds and our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. We pray for those in the path of Hurricane Irma right now and those still reeling from Harvey, Tropical Storm Harvey in Houston. And we ask for world peace. We ask you to ease the tensions that we see around the world and ask that peace be restored. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's get started. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to have you with us here. On Blog Talk Radio. You might be listening on TuneIn Radio or iTunes as well. However you listen, I'm just glad you're here. Please remember, if you want to find out more information about the work that I do or maybe the podcast that I have created exclusively for warriors, it's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, make sure you visit my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, let's see what we have here. St. Louis de Montfort's Consecration, Part 1. And I'm reading from Father Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. And what we're trying to do here, remember, is a little meditation each day. I just want to give you something to think about. Right now, we're really still ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. So with that in mind, let's get started. Father Gately states, okay, so on the first day of this week, we asked for a greater passion and zeal in making our preparation for consecration. And yesterday, we pondered the incredible influence that St. Louis de Montfort's brief life has had on the Church. The powerful testimony of authorities no less than popes should have further fired our zeal and gotten us reflecting. What is this amazingly influential teaching of a priest who only lived to be 43? Of course, it's his teaching on Marian consecration. But what exactly is Marian consecration? I think this is, and this is me speaking, I think it's important for us to understand this whole concept of Marian consecration. Remember, Marian consecration has to do with you giving your life to the Blessed Mother, but it doesn't stop there. With the intent of having her lead you closer to Jesus and ultimately lead you to heaven. As Father Gately will say as we go on, it's a quick and easy way to get to heaven. Now, honestly, you're going to struggle no matter what you do because life is a struggle. But this is as close to a sure thing as it gets. You are trusting the Blessed Mother. You're giving her permission. You're saying, hey, Mary, I need some extra help getting to heaven. Because I know that I'm weak. I know that I'm going to stumble. And I want it so bad that I want to make sure all my I's are dotted and my T's crossed. That's what you're doing with total consecration. Back to Father Gately. Recall the summary of Marian consecration on the introduction to this retreat. There I presented consecration as our giving a yes to Mary, allowing her to fulfill in us her God-given task of forming us into other Christs. And all that's true, but there's more. St. Louis de Montfort gives two key emphases in his teaching on Marian consecration that expand what we've already read about it. Those two emphases are, number one, a renewal of our baptismal vows, and number two, a particularly intimate gift of ourselves to Mary. Let's look at each of these in turn, one today and one tomorrow. The day of our baptism is the most significant in each of our lives. And I'm reading from Father Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory here. It's when we poor sinful creatures are not only cleansed of sin, but also given the amazing dignity and honor of being transformed into sons and daughters of the Almighty God. Okay, I'm going to depart from the text here. When we're baptized, right? When we're baptized, we are cleansed of our original sin. But at this point, when we're baptized, we are transformed into sons and daughters of the Almighty God. You know, too many of us don't think about this. We don't take our baptism seriously enough. It's a big deal. And so many times it becomes a rite of passage or a tradition. It's a big deal because when you are baptized, you become a son or a daughter of God. Father states, on that joyous occasion, before we received this amazing grace, we solemnly promised, or if we were infants, others promised in our name, to reject Satan. And then we, or others in our name, professed our faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. That every Easter, we solemnly renew this promise and commitment. But do we keep it? Are we true to our word? No. We all sin. Sadly, we all give into Satan's pomps and works and reject Christ, at least in little ways. And you know what? I think it's important for us to recognize this. We do. Every Easter, we get up and say, yes, we reject Satan, but then the next day we're sinning again. And I'm not saying that we should become plunge into despair and look at overcoming sin as being hopeless. To the contrary, we should just use that as motivation for doing something like this, total consecration. We have a need for it. You know, we say we're followers of Christ and we're not going to follow Satan. But look, every time we sin, we're doing just the opposite of what we say. That's why there's a need for something like total consecration. All right, back to the book. Why does this happen? The simple answer is original sin. We have a fallen nature and we're prone to sin. That's true. But St. Louis invites us to go deeper and examine our consciences. If we do, we'll discover that a principal reason why we fall into sin is because of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness of our promise and commitment to Christ at baptism. De Montfort suggests that if we were to personally and sincerely renew our baptismal vows and place them in the hands of Mary, then this act alone would go a long way in helping us overcome sin in our lives. Therefore, he makes such a renewal of vows an essential element of his prayer of consecration. In fact, in the very first paragraph of this prayer, he has us address Mary and pray to her as follows. Now, this is the prayer that you will make if you decide to make your total consecration on October the 7th. These words were penned by St. Louis de Montfort. I, and you insert your name there, a faithless sinner, Renew and ratify today in thy hands the vows of my baptism. I renounce forever Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I give myself entirely to Jesus Christ, the incarnate wisdom, to carry my cross after him all the days of my life, and to be more faithful to him than I have ever been before. That's a little bit of what you'll be saying. You'll be praying when you consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary. So St. Louis has us attack sin right at its root, Satan and his pomps and works, and has us recommit our lives to Christ, and has us do all of this with and through Mary. Why through Mary? Because God has put enmity between her and Satan. This is from Genesis 3:15, and Satan can't stand her. In fact, according to St. Louis, Satan fears her not only more than the angels and saints, but in a sense even more than God himself. Why? Because, as he puts it, Satan, being proud, suffers infinitely more from being beaten and punished by a little and humble handmaid of God, and her humility humbles him more than the divine power. So, De Montfort gives us a practical and effective way to overcome sin in our lives. Formally renounce Satan and recommit ourselves to Christ through Mary. He goes on to say, we'll hear more about Mary's power over evil on the last day of this week. Tomorrow we'll reflect on the second element of St. Louis' consecration, the particularly intimate gift of ourselves to Mary. Today, let's reflect on the promise we made at our baptism to reject Satan and to love and follow Christ. All right, so that's the message for today. With this total consecration, and remember, we're still in the preparation phase. We've got 33 days of preparation, and we're in the initial 12 days, just trying to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world right now. But once we do that, once we get through 33 days of preparation, then on October the 7th, we have the opportunity to consecrate our lives to Jesus through Mary, and that's when we say, Blessed Mother, I need your help. I love Jesus so much that I want to be faithful to the vows that I made or were made for me on my baptism, the day of my baptism, and therefore I consecrate my life to him through you, Blessed Mother. That's what you'll be doing. Today's prayer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, give me the grace to reject Satan and follow Christ more closely. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there you go. That's the material for today. And again, as I said at the start of the show, I'm probably going to stick with Father Gately's book for at least a few more days, because he really does a nice job of setting this up. Why is it that we're doing total consecration? And, you know, even for me, this is the seventh year in a row that I have formally renewed my consecration, and I do it in a really public way because I do it on this program. I've done it on my radio program since 2011 was the first time I did this. Every year that I do this and I go through this, I am reminded of some of the things that I've forgotten, because it's very easy to forget why it is that we're doing what we do in total consecration. So I'm glad that I'm a part of this. I'm glad you are a part of it. And remember, just throughout the day, Remind yourself that this is why we do what we do, because we made some promises on the day of our baptism. Every time we sin, we are not living up to those promises, right? And this gives us that opportunity to do something about it. To me, it's a no-brainer. It really is. It's a good thing. And look, take it from me. I've done this for 6 years. This is my seventh year that I am reconsecrating myself. I would not have it any other way. I will do it every year for the rest of my life. And in fact, I do a mini consecration every day of my life, because it is so, so important to do that. If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, or just go right to followingthetruth.com and contact me through my contact page. All right, I'm here for you. We're going to get through this. If you have to miss a day or two or three, as I always tell you, it's okay. Just try to keep going. I think it'll be a big mistake if you say, I missed a couple days because I got sick and I don't want to continue. This is not that difficult. It's 15 minutes a day. You don't even have to have a book. But I do want you to do a little homework. I do want you to spend some time as you go throughout your daily life just thinking about what we're discussing. There's always going to be like one central concept. Today, It's that we violate our baptismal promises every time we sin. And again, I'm not trying to get you to fall into despair. I don't want you to think you're a complete loser. No, not at all. I just want to motivate you to try to do better. And here's a great answer. You know, your mom, your heavenly mom, really cares about you. She wants to get you to heaven. Even if your body is not going to cooperate, she's going to help you. I need her help, and I think you do too. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will look at the daily mass readings. And please, if you're able to stick around, I think you should, because you're going to hear God's word to you. He speaks directly through sacred scripture, so it's important. If you're able to stick around, please do so. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Raymond Burse, the interim president at Kentucky State University, remembers the minimum wage jobs he held during his high school and college years. He empathizes with workers in similar jobs who struggle to make ends meet today. As a result, he's taken a step to make their lives a little bit easier. He's taken a 25% cut in his own salary in order to boost their wages. As reported by the Washington Post, the 24 employees at KSU who make below $10.25 an hour will now be bumped up to that baseline. Burse says he believes in raising wages, but didn't want to put the financial burden on the school, so he lived up to his own principles in a unique way. He said, "I did it to do right by the employees here." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
And welcome back to the program. I'm Gary Zimek. Thanks so much for joining us. Today is day 3 of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. We already did our consecration meditation. See, what did I tell you when we started this? I said it's not going to be that difficult. It's not. I don't want to inundate you with 45 minutes of deep prayers and theological observations, because I'm going to lose you. 15 minutes. I'm going to give you the best of the best. I've got a stack of books about total consecration. I've been down this road so many times before. I want this to be powerful, and I want it to have an impact on your life. I don't just want this to be something you do and you go into total consecration blindly and you don't think about it. I want to make sure you're prepared. And in 15 minutes, depending on what we do in those 15 minutes, we can get a lot done. So I want to thank you for participating. Look, if you have friends that might be interested in doing this, let them know. Doesn't matter if they hadn't started, if they didn't start from the beginning. We're just doing the 12 days, the initial 12 days of ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. Let your friends know, and they can get this podcast on Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes totally free of charge. It's 30 minutes a night. That's it. They can listen wherever they go. So let them know about it, okay? Would you do that? Today's mass readings from Wednesday of the 22nd week in Ordinary Time. They're good ones, obviously, because this is the Word of God. Let's not overlook the fact that when we open up the Bible, the Lord speaks to us. So you can't say, if you're going to listen to the rest of this program, you can't say that God never speaks to you, because he's going to do it right now. So here we go. The first reading is a reading from the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, beginning in verse 1, chapter 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. Of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. Just as in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, so also among you from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a trustworthy minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. All right, so what Paul's doing here, he is setting up his letter to the Colossians. This is the very beginning of it. And he states that he always gives thanks. We always give thanks to God when they pray for you, for the people. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. The gospel is the word of truth, he mentions, and that it has come to you just as in the whole world it's bearing fruit and growing, so also among you from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God and truth, who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So I'm trying to read and think about how I'm going to concisely summarize what Paul is saying here. He's basically setting things up and saying, look, the Spirit is at work in you people. And he's about to start to reveal some instruction. He's going to try to instruct the people, but he's recognizing, hey, this is really cool. You know, I think the same thing is applicable to our own day and age. We see the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is out there, no question. The Holy Spirit's doing work. The Holy Spirit is still active. The Holy Spirit is working in a really special way in his church. But we oftentimes focus on the negativity, and there's a lot of that out there too. And we overlook the fact that the Holy Spirit is at work. But we need to do, in addition to recognizing that the Holy Spirit's at work, and there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of good things, we need to make sure that we're doing what we can to, number one, let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. And that's going to take permission. You got to give the Holy Spirit permission to work in your life. And then take that, what the Spirit does in your life, and go share it with other people. In other words, you do your part in addition to all the good that we see out there. And yeah, you've got to look pretty hard for the good sometimes, because the negative is a lot more apparent. So let's recognize that God is still present in the world. He's still present in everyone that we meet. And now we look inwardly and say, okay, what can I do to make this world a better place? On social media, in person, by picking up the phone, by sending an email. You know, what can I do to bring the love of Christ to someone today? Anyone. Can I do the dishes for my wife? Can I do something for my husband to help him? Can I listen to somebody who wants to talk, even though they drive me crazy because they go on and on and on? I mean, these are little things that we can do to share the love of Christ with those around us. I have different people around me than you do. I can't reach all of the people who you can reach, and vice versa. So we have to look and say, all right, Lord, who can I touch today? And I think that's the message for all of us. Psalm 52 is the responsorial psalm. I trust in the mercy of God forever. I, like a green olive tree in the house of God, trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will thank you always for what you have done and proclaim the goodness of your name before your faithful ones. Do you thank the Lord when you wake up in the morning? Do you thank him for all the good he has done in the world and in your life? Or are you always complaining? I mean, I think that I'm a big believer in that attitude of gratitude, and it's not something that comes natural to me at all. I need to work on it, and I need to get a lot better at it. Many of us can tend to be complainers, and we can always see the negative. Even if we see somebody doing some good, getting back to that first reading, we see somebody doing some good, and we think, yeah, but he's out for something. He's in this for himself, right? Do you ever do that? And I saw that recently on Facebook a lot. I'm not going to mention any names, but I saw a lot of accusations. You see, this guy, this proves that he's a phony. We got to be careful about that. None of us know what's in anybody's mind. And I got news for you. When you reach your judgment, it'll be you and God. You're not going to be able to point to me and say, hey, but Lord, this Gary Zimak, whoa, what a bad guy he was. He was a complete fraud. The Lord's going to say, I don't care about Gary. I'll deal with Gary when it's his time. But right now, it's me and you. Give me an account of how you lived your life. You see, that's a scary thought. But it's a realistic one. It's one we have to deal with. I'll throw it back to total consecration. That's why I do this every year. Because I know that we need that help. I personally need all the help I can get to heaven. And you know what? I really want to get there. But there are times in my life, many times, when I don't want to do the right thing. Why? Because it's hard. I want to take the easy way out. That's why I know I need help. And that's why I know the Blessed Mother can help me, and the church tells me that total consecration to Jesus through Mary is a good thing. So you know that I'm going to be all on board. And that's why I'm so glad that you're listening to the show and you are going through the preparation for total consecration. I hope you go all the way through. I hope you make it. I think you will. But just so you know, it is important what we're doing. The Blessed Mother really can help us. And look, a lot of times we fool ourselves. We really do need help with getting to heaven. I know it's all we need to do is be followers of Christ, but just look at how many times you've sinned in the past week. If you're anything like me, you've got a lot of sins that you've messed up quite a bit. So we do need help, and this is where Mary can help us. But trusting in the mercy of God forever, yeah, He loves us unconditionally, and He will be merciful. He is all merciful. So anytime I go to Him and repent of my sin and say, I'm sorry, Lord, He will forgive me. That's what the sacrament of confession is for. So don't think you're going to get to a point where you've sinned 50 times and He's going to say, all right, that's it, only 50. I can't forgive you this 51st time. No, He's going to forgive you again, provided you repent of your sin and you pledge not to do it again to the best of your ability. It doesn't mean you won't do it again, but it just means at that moment in time, you have every intention of not sinning again. Let's look at the gospel, Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. After Jesus left the synagogue, He entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with Him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to Him. He laid His hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But Jesus rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew that He was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for Him, and when they came to Him, they tried to prevent Him from leaving them. But He said to them, "To the other towns also, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And He was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. All right, there's a lot going on in this gospel. One of the first things to note is that Jesus can fix your problems. The people realized this. That's why they were interceding on behalf of one another to Jesus. Which, by the way, is one of the things the Blessed Mother wants to do for you. But you need to give her permission to let her fully, and I mean fully, work in your life. She's going to be after Jesus, night and day, on your behalf, telling Him what you need. That's a great advocate to have. Jesus, it was not a big deal for Him to heal Peter's mother-in-law. It was also not a big deal to drive demons out of people. He does this. He does this because He is all-powerful. Also notice what happened with Peter's mother-in-law. Once she was cured, what did she do? She wanted to serve. She wanted to wait on the people, to wait on the people who were interceding for her. In other words, she's putting herself out there. She's serving others. That's what the Lord wants us all to do. You know what? If you have an encounter with Christ, and I have a feeling you have had some close encounters with Christ, or you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast. People that don't encounter Christ generally don't even waste their time with programs like this. But once you have that encounter with Christ, you get to a point where you want to go out and share Him with others. That's what happens. You know Him, then you love Him, and then what do? You want to share Him. Generally, that doesn't require somebody to push you, because once you know Him and love Him, then you just have that desire that I got to share Him with others. And the more you love Him, the more you know Him, the more you'll want to share Him with others. So make sure that you're doing that in your life. Who are you sharing Christ with in your life, or who do you need to share Christ with? And again, you don't necessarily have to open your Bible to do it. You don't have to preach. It starts with just being nice to that person. Who can you be nice to today? Who can you smile at? Who can you do something for? Whose load can you lighten a little bit today? I think if you look around you, you'll find people in your own house that really need the love of Christ. Start there. And then, you know, just let's go along for the ride. This is what happens when you make your total consecration. The Blessed Mother has big plans for you. I've seen this in my own life, and I don't know what the future holds for me, but I know where I came from. And I'm doing things now that I would have never imagined doing. This is Mary's doing. I see what's happening in my life. Does that mean I don't fall on my face some days? No. I fall on my face plenty of times. But I always get back up again because she helps me up. So to summarize, and I'm tying a lot to total consecration because we're in the midst of it right now. To summarize, total consecration is going to help you get closer to Christ. And all those weaknesses in your life, those things that you look at and you say, I wish I could get better at this, that, or something else, all those things, they're going to get better. Just let the Blessed Mother continue to lead you. Let's continue to go through this total consecration. And you're going to start to see results. You'll probably see results even before you actually make the total consecration on October the 7th. So remember, you haven't even made it yet. You might start to see some changes even before then. I have heard many people say that. So I'm going to run now. Thank you for listening. I'm very grateful to have you as a listener. Please remember to visit followingthetruth.com. If you're able to make a donation to sustain my work, I would greatly appreciate that. Until we meet again, remember the Lord's always with you. Just turn around and say hi. You don't want to be rude if he's with you. Until we meet again next time, this is Gary Zimek saying thanks for listening and may God bless you. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.